What do you get when three comic and entertainment enthusiasts join together to discuss the topics that interest us all? Something that is truly larger than life. What's on the page?
On the screen.
And on our minds. Is front and center here on Larger Than Life with Dan Totora and co-hosts TJ Yeldon and Brian Yeldon.
We are back here live on Larger Than Life with Dan Totora, right here inside of New York Comic Con. Just got off the Stranger Things panel here with Nicolo Cicero, longtime producer, better friends. I don't know, maybe better producer than Fred? No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
I'm not that good of a producer, so I don't know what that says about me.
None of that. So, here at the Larger Than Life with Dan Totora booth here, 1878, proudly presented by Carvel, Carvel America's freshest ice cream. We're going to be doing another prize giveaway at 1:30 p.m. So, all you have to do as you're walking by the booth is like the page Larger Than Life with Dan Totora. So, just look at the logo, and that's all you got to do. I mean, you just write it like that. Like the page, Larger Than Life with Dan Totora, and at 1:30, I will pick a name. They will spin the Carvel wheel, the Carvel Fresh Wheel of Prizes, and you'll take home something amazing. Gave away a ton of prizes yesterday.
Yeah.
And
A lot of special prizes.
Yeah. People are forcing me to have to go out and seek new prizes, come up with new ideas. But very happy to be here. So if you're coming by the booth right now, like the page, Larger Than Life with Dan Totora on Facebook. We'll be drawing a name at 1:30 to spin the wheel and have a potential winning Variant Comics as well as a special prize and T-shirts. Want to thank everybody that's come over and bought T-shirts for Larger Than Life. And obviously want to thank Carvel. We're coming off of our Stranger Things panel, Nick. We got to go over there and see the panel.
Yeah.
Nick, coming out of the panel, said, one of the best you've ever been to. It's the best that I have seen to date. So, initial impressions of Stranger Things as people walk by in a packed house at New York Comic Con. Speaking on Stranger Things, what did you think about the panel?
Well, we got to see Millie, who played 11, and David Harbour, who played the sheriff. And he was late to the game. And, you know, the panel started off really, really slow. She was, Millie was kind of unsure of some of the, almost unsure of herself a little bit at first. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a long panel. She was kind of mumbling and rumbling around, not really getting to the heart of any of the stories she was trying to tell. And then all of a sudden David showed up, and you could tell that they had such an amazing rapport. I mean, really almost like father and daughter. I mean, but they were also like best friends.
Right.
And they each brought out a lot in each other. She really opened up, and she's very confident, very, very,
very funny.
Funny.
Yeah, very, very,
very
funny.
On the ball, you know, very millennial, I will say, as well. So I thought the funny part of the conversation was, her kind of talking about the 80s and saying that, the 80s was something that she would love to live through. And then David was like, yeah, I've been there, done that, you don't.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so that was very funny, like her kind of trying to talk about the 80s and trying to kind of relate to it. And, it kind of went down this hole until, like, look, you know, you're used to having your phone, you're used to having your internet. And that's what she said. She said, you know, not having the internet. She was like, how would I Snapchat? How do I Instagram?
Right.
She would miss that the most.
You know, it's very crazy because Nick and I grew up in the 80s. And obviously we're here today. There's been a lot of change. When you and I were born, there wasn't pocket cell phones for people. There wasn't computers in people's houses.
Well, no, when I was born, we still had the corded telephones that they were talking about.
Yeah, and I remember the corded telephone. I remember the one in the kitchen. My mom would say, go to the kitchen because it's longer.
Yeah.
Because, like, the one in my room, if I, like, left my bed, I had to stand next to, in order to be on the phone in my room, I had to stand, because it was on my nightstand, I I had to stand next to it and talk right up next to it, or else I wouldn't have been able to utilize the phone. Then at 16 years old, I got a mini version of a Zach Morris phone. It didn't fold. It had Tetris on it, which was like the big thing. And it was a gray and black phone. It had a little antenna. And, you know, then I upgraded to the flip phone, which I loved, and then that phased out, and now we have touch screens, you know. And a few years ago, people forget, there wasn't any touch screen anything.
Yeah.
You had to literally punch in buttons. And Nick, I don't know if Millie remembers this. Millie Bobby Brown, she talked about wanting to grow up in the 80s and whatnot.
Right.
But I don't think she would even know what it meant to, if you wanted to type a text message, if I wanted to say, hi, Nick, how are you?
Yeah.
I have to go to that thing and type the letters. And if I wanted I had to hit the number 4 3 times.
Oh, yeah, remember that?
Because it went to G, and then it went to H, and then it went to I. And if you hit too many by accident, you had to start all over again.
Oh, those
and you couldn't spate. You couldn't go to the next letter. You had to wait. Now people type in full words on their phone, and it's easier than the computer to some. So, you know, it's funny how Millie kind of started out the panel discussing how she wanted to be in the 80s and she wanted to grow up in this era. But David Harbour's saying, no, you don't. Like,
yeah,
everything's right in front of you right now.
Yeah, I think she realized it once she started talking things out that she definitely did not wish to be in the 80s. One of the other funny things is that, and she wasn't saying it with any malice, but she said she had a lot of fun kind of doing damage to people on the set, you know.
Yeah.
Not in a real physical way, but on, you know, special effects way.
Right.
She enjoyed the power that she had. She loved it. She said that was the best part of filming Stranger Things season 1.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's amazing. You know, it's like this little sweet girl who's like got this great smile and great personality, and then she's talking about the show and she's like, listen, basically, I mean, she liked to murder on the show.
Yeah.
She liked to kill.
Oh, yeah.
They're talking about snapping people's necks and blood and all the stuff going on with Stranger Things. And she's saying how much she enjoyed it, how much it just, like, you know, got her all jazzed up to go on set and do something like that. But, I mean, if I was the one that had powers on the show, I'd be snapping necks everywhere, I think.
Yeah, and she's a real actress. What is she, 12 maybe?
She's a very young individual, that's for sure. Millie Bobby Brown, and it was, you know, the Stranger Things panel was a great way to start today because the panel was absolutely amazing. I think it's hands down the best one that I saw. I know that there are a lot of people back in Central New York that when I said I was coming out here to New York Comic Con and they said, oh, what panels are you doing or what are you covering? When I said Stranger Things, everybody kind of stopped me and was like, that's the one. Like, that's the one I want to hear about. And Nick, I don't know if you did, but I took a lot of notes. Took a ton of notes watching this panel. So we're going to get into a lot of different things as Nick finds the age. You know,
well,
the age?
Well, she's 12.
Yeah, she's 12
years old. She seems like a really hardcore actress. You could tell she loves the craft and she liked the complexity of the character of Eleven.
Right.
Who, you know, has a vulnerability but also is kind of mean to people, the bad guy in some sense. So, you know, it's interesting to see her feelings about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, seeing her develop as a character and then hear her talking after, and I don't know if you saw it, but the rap that she did on Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
When she rapped to a Nicki Minaj song.
Yeah.
And she made Nicki Minaj more, I guess if Millie did it, I'd be more apt to listen. Like Nicki Minaj, you hear it the first few times, you're like, okay, I like the song. And then after like the 20th time, you're like, I can't listen to this anymore. But Millie Bobby Brown, I could go back and watch that video at any point.
Yeah.
But she has an awesome personality. And then the whole first things first, I'll eat your brains. Like, that was a perfect line for her character. But David Harbour, we talked about Millie, and I got a lot of notes here. But what did you take away from David Harbour? I think his personality came out in the panel for sure.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect from either one of them. But he came across as this kind of really good guy that enjoys the craft of acting. And, you know, he said it himself, you know, he's not a good-looking guy or anything like that, so he wasn't going to be that kind of leading man type thing. So he had to take inspiration from a lot of different actors that, you know, were like the tough guy doing his craft. It was interesting to hear about how he is kind of a method actor, not completely like over the top, but
yeah,
he carries that actor home with him. And he said that his performance on the screen is more important than his personal life, and so that he is fine carrying those characters over and just being that person.
Yeah, he kind of, you know, takes it home with him. But the thing is, I mean, he looks the part of the character. You know, he looks like, you know, he's unshaven. You know, he looks like he hasn't maybe slept a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he really does embody it, which I think is amazing. And like I said, I took a ton of notes on this thing, so I'm kind of going to go through the notes as the panel went on, my first note to my last. And obviously, you know, if Nick has something here, but the Demogorgon, I thought this was cool. The Demogorgon is Mark. His name is Mark.
Yeah,
it's
Mark.
A guy inside of this, like, you know, puppet suit and whatnot.
They got some friends with him.
And they said that he can't hear in the suits.
Yeah.
So when Millie goes to, like, touch him and he's supposed to, like, respond, that they had to grab one of his toes and, like, get him on. But to find out that the Demogorgon, I mean, it humanizes it. I still think he's terrifying.
Right.
But it's like, oh, yeah, that's Mark, and we go up to him. You can go give Mark a hug. And I just find it really interesting to have a panel where you get to learn, like, the guy behind the suit and that he can't hear anything.
Yeah. No, it was good little tidbits there. I enjoyed the closeness of the cast, so it's, you know, it just shows that they were very close. She said she thought of the boys as her brothers more than her friends because she loved them, but they were very annoying.
Yeah.
And I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that too.
And she said that her best friend was Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
You know, actually they both answered that. And that surprised me a little bit. I don't follow celebrities too much, but I do know, she was a huge star back in the 80s. I mean, I had a crush on her in the 80s and 90s, as well as David Harbour did.
Nick had a crush on her after she started stealing things.
Well, see, then that's the thing.
Turns you on more.
She really, you know, her
life fell off.
Turned upside down.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering, you know, it's interesting to hear such great praise for her, how great of a person she was, and how intelligent.
They said extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
Funny. You know, and they said she just eats cheese and crackers. She's like a little mouse in her trailer. And, you know, it's amazing to see this back side to it. But then Millie, when they're talking about, when you're back in Atlanta, go to Atlanta and, you know, and experience these different things. And she said, if I'm back in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And David Harbour was like, they grow up so fast. But I think it's safe to say, you know, 11 will be back. I think it's fair.
Yeah, I think they let a little bit. They said
they kind of let a good amount go
The fact
11.
That she got a script. She got scripts for.
Yeah, why does she have a script?
Why does she have a script? So the other thing they kind of leaked, it was in the Q&A session at the end.
Yeah.
First of all, they said, we're not saying anything about season 2.
And then they said stuff.
Well, I feel like they said that somebody asked, how would you feel if in season 2 you adopted 11?
Yeah.
And he, you know, said, I can't say it's going to happen. But if it did happen, you know, she came to live with me, I think it'd be an incredible emotional arc, a story arc.
Yeah.
And
that was amazing.
It was one of those kind of wink-wink
things. He said, we can't tell you. There would be a rich emotional arc there that I would like to explore.
Right.
And people erupted at this.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said it was a very complex relationship. But they did say we got the first couple pages of the script or whatnot, and they said that it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, this upcoming story is insane.
Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, is the proud presenting partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora's live broadcasting booth inside of New York Comic Con from October 6th to the 9th, right here in 2016. Come and see us, hear our broadcast, and try your luck with the Carvel Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. Got to like the page on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook, and then you have an opportunity to spin the wheel right here in the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora live broadcasting booth, doing shows all throughout New York Comic Con 2016 about the heroes, the villains, the shows, the characters, everything that you love in the world that we're all proud to live in, all thanks to America's freshest ice cream. There's nothing like a Carvel memory. Share one today by going to your local Carvel. Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, and the proud partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora.
There was a lot of love for Barb. You know, it was funny. Millie Bobby Brown was like, go to Twitter and like bring Barb back.
Yeah.
And then David Harbour said, she's very dead. Like, there's no way she's coming back. So you got to kind of let that go. But it was funny. They said, did the Barb thing catch you by surprise? And David Harbour said, definitely. She has such a unique look, he said, too. So at the Times with the mom jeans. I'm very surprised by the response to it, but it's well-deserved. It's as iconic as any of us. So he said the Barb's character, who, you know, a lot of us joke, but in seriousness say that she's the forgotten one, you know, that he called her an icon.
Well, it is an iconic character in that show because it's a character that typifies those 80s movies that this was trying to pay homage to. You know, that character is in all those movies.
Yeah.
And it's funny because back in the 80s, you'd watch it, you'd see that character, you may talk about it with your friends, and be like, yeah, hey, what happened to that? I don't know. But in the age of social media,
what
that person
Barb
becomes a star.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's different. Those characters have always been around.
She was the consciousness of Nancy. She was, the conscience, is
that,
what I meant.
Yeah. I think also, the younger generation, like the millennial generation now, or Miley's generation,
yeah,
that would have not grown up in the 80s and seen these 80s movies, not have that, because I think this strikes hard to your emotional tie to these feelings and of these movies you saw as a kid. But it's amazing how much the millennial generation enjoys Stranger Things as well. And I think Barb is one of those things that group grabbed onto, because that's kind of what they do. They grab onto these weird things and weird and TV shows and movies and stuff and exploit them and tweet about them and do memes about them.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, we couldn't tweet about anything. You know, I couldn't tweet about, you know, Boy Meets World over, hashtag I miss Feeny. You know, I couldn't do any of that stuff. I couldn't be like, hashtag I love you all when Feeny said that. You know, I couldn't kind of get my pain out, you know?
Yeah.
Hashtag Green Ranger is good. What? You know, I mean, like, there's a lot of things that I'll probably put out now, and I hope they start trending. But, you know, Millie said, I want justice for Barb. And David Harbour said, we do deal with the loose ends in season 2 of Barb, and we deal with the internet rage. I can assure you that Barb is very much dead, though. But I'm going to find it interesting how they deal with the internet rage. Because, you know, obviously there is no internet. There's nothing going on at this time. There's nobody home with their computers and whatnot. So,
well, no, I think they're taking in some people's comments into their account.
Yeah.
I don't think if Barb blew up the way she did, if that didn't happen, I don't think they need to deal with it in season 2. But I feel like they feel they need to deal with it.
I think with the red comb over, similar to Conan O'Brien, that he should have come out in defense of Barb.
Maybe he will later today.
Maybe he will. That'd be cool. We may be seeing him later today. But some other things that we took away from this, Detective Hopper brings the work home. The work is so important to me, he said, which is what Nick was talking about, and Millie liking that she uses her powers. And then to kind of go from there, Hopper said, Detective Hopper, who is David Harbour, very confusing, Harbour and Hopper, but David Harbour, who plays Detective Hopper, or I should say Jim Hopper, I think the writing was so three-dimensional, Chief Hopper, pardon me, instead of being sad, he's sarcastic, he's funny, he doesn't give a you-know-what. In episode 1, he said, Chief Hopper, guy sucks, is what he was reading on Twitter. And then by episode 4, he saw people saying, if Chief Hopper dies, I'm suing Netflix. And it's kind of, you know, to open up, the reason why I mention this, to open up the topic of the story arcs of all these characters just kept growing. And even Millie Bobby Brown said she was screaming at 11 to talk. I mean, it's her character, but she's watching the show and she's like, just tell them where the upside down is. Just let it out. Why can't we just call Will on the phone? I mean,
yeah.
It's very interesting how these characters, like 11, frustrated you, and, you know, Chief Hopper, you thought, oh my God, he's going to think the kids are nuts, and, you know, nothing's going to be done about this, and Winona Ryder's going to be this crazy woman, and Joyce is going to be like this psychopath that's going to do it on her own. But all of these characters that we got really pissed off at changed in a big way.
Yeah, there was a, that I think at the core is what was great about this show. All the characters had these crazy arcs, and so you talk about those guys, but you know, what about like Nancy and Steve and Jonathan? And when they were brought up, the crowd went nuts, because I mean, it is a weird love triangle, because both guys have their flaws and their positive attributes, and you know, you could see Nancy picking either one of them, and you know, a lot of people were upset that she ended up with Steve, who was the jerk. But if you really think about it, he completely redeemed himself at the end.
Yeah, but I mean, Jonathan's the guy who you think like can't get her. So I feel like people watch that show and they're like, you know, Jonathan's like the creepy guy, like super pale, like taking pictures of her when she's by the pool. And then you got the other side of it where you're essentially seeing, you know, this character who is extremely popular, and, you know, Steve, and they called it, Millie Bobby Brown called it Stancy. I'm okay with Stancy. But I don't know, like, I'm kind of with the crowd on this one. I wanted Jonathan to get her. I mean, he seems to, you know, care, and he seems to maybe not have caught a lot of breaks in his life.
Yeah, but he doesn't necessarily deserve this if he's not willing to change himself. And he was still kind of creepy and weird at the end, even though, you know, he should have come around and changed if he wanted to have a relationship with Nancy.
Right.
Yeah, so.
But, and another thing that Hopper brought up, Chief Hopper brought up in the show, David Harbour, he was talking about in the panel about the teacher when he's on the phone with the kids. He's like, he got so excited and turned on, more so than from the woman that was on the couch with him. And he's like, you know, it's just kind of cool. And then he said teacher of the year.
Yeah.
You know, that he made a meme about it. But I think that it is kind of interesting because, you know, I had a teacher like this. My teacher's first name was Craig. And he was my astronomy teacher, intro to astronomy, in college at Marywood University, shout out. And he was like so excited. I mean, we're dealing with physics. This is hard math.
Yeah.
I did not like physics, but I really like astronomy. But it's because of my teacher. It's because of Craig. Like, he would stand, because we would be in this like lecture room, and there's only like 12 of us, maybe, and he'd be standing in this room, and we would all be watching him, and he would just like jump up and down, and he would run around, and it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and this guy's screaming, and he goes, listen, there's 100,000 opportunities minimum of life somewhere else, right? He's talking about all of these galaxies and all these different things and all these opportunities. And I remember him literally as a grown man jumping off the ground and pointing and throwing his hands up in the air and saying, there has to be life somewhere else. You're so stupid if you don't think that. You're so ignorant and you're so crazy.
Wow, he said that to kids?
He said it to us. I mean, we're college students.
College.
We're not kids. But he's like, how can you be that selfish, is what he said, to think that you are the only ones. And he was just so into it. I mean, there was so much
it's a real character, yeah.
But you learned. So, I mean, I like teachers that are like that, that, you know, you're like, and I had a lot of good teachers like that, where you could call them up on the phone and be like, I don't understand this, and they would help you out.
Oh, wow.
And then I had a terrible math teacher that was a gym teacher, too, and he didn't care about math at all. He was just kind of going through the motions, which I think is at, like, every school. You have, like, the gym teacher that doesn't want to teach anything else,
or
he's like the basketball coach, and he's teaching you math, and you're like, how do you solve this? And he goes, I don't know, check the book. Like, he didn't even know.
No.
So, but we have some good ones, and then, you know, but Millie's personality that Nick brought up a little bit. Millie Bobby Brown, I mean, she is so awesome. You know, like, David Harbour's like, I'm like, aggressively out of shape, and she's like stopping, and she got up and she hugged him, and there's like so much love on the set that you feel from these two, that there's like a genuine care for one another, which builds longevity of a show because it's not a bunch of egos on a set.
Yeah. And she was very happy to be there. She, you know, was very gracious for the standing ovation that she received and, you know, flattered by it. And it was funny, like, she did start off slow, but then by the end she was taking over the panel. She was like, next question. And going off on these, you know, crazy tangents. And just being funny and just being a kid. Some of the things she said were ridiculous or weird or a little bit naive, but she is 12 years old. And most of it was funny and kind of playing with David. You know, there were a few times when David would say something kind of deep and she would go give him a hug. And she did that a couple times, which was cute. And she was having a good time there, and she was having a good time interacting with the people asking questions, too.
So, you know, I think
she's gonna be something. She's gonna be around for a while.
Well,
she's
funny,
a
because
really good actress at that age.
Wynonna was this like really good like child actress, and then I'm looking at Millie Bobby Brown when they kind of likened her a little bit to Wynonna and being so young and so popular. And I looked at her, I'm like, she kind of resembles Wynonna in a way, but you just get this from her. I mean, seeing her rap on Jimmy Fallon and seeing her talk today, she's full of personality. She is unafraid of anything. She is this confident, like, strong-willed actress that I respect more than some grown people. I mean, I really walked away like, good for her, and I hope that she takes everything that God gave her, and I hope she shares it with people that need that confidence and need that, you know, self-respect and whatnot.
And I want to check this out, because apparently she's done another show. It's called The Invasion?
Yeah.
Do you remember what they said?
Well, they said something about there was, I'm going to check it right now, her resume. Millie Bobby Brown. So, taking a look right here. See, she looks like Wynonna Ryder. I'm telling you, she does. Could be her mother. She was Ruby in Grey's Anatomy for an episode. She's in Modern Family. She's in NCIS. Intruders is the one.
Intruders
was a TV series. She played a character called Madison O'Donnell. And she was in that in 2014. And Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, the series that didn't make it, she was on that as well. So, but Intruders was like the big TV series for her where she got to be in it. And she played like another serious character. And she said, like, I think I'm funny.
Yeah.
And she doesn't get to play any funny roles.
No, I guess she tried out for some and then never got the role.
Yeah, I think it was the Melissa McCarthy. She brought it up.
The Boss.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of, Melissa McCarthy swore a lot in that movie. But you know, I think it's safe to say what we know about season two coming out of the panel was that it's going to be insane. We're going to tie up loose ends of questions that we have from season one. We're going to address Barb and the jelly slug, maybe that came out of her mouth. But we're going to address Barb's death. And what, every time I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and I have raspberry jelly, I just picture if it was green, that's exactly what was coming out of her mouth.
Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, is the proud presenting partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora's live broadcasting booth inside of New York Comic Con from October 6th to the 9th, right here in 2016. Come and see us, hear our broadcasts, and try your luck with the Carvel Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. You gotta like the page on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook, and then you have an opportunity to spin the wheel right here in the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora live broadcasting booth, doing shows all throughout New York Comic Con 2016 about the heroes, the villains, the shows, the characters, everything that you love in the world that we're all proud to live in. All thanks to America's freshest ice cream. There's nothing like a Carvel memory. Share one today by going to your local Carvel. Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, and the proud partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora.
And we're going to address, obviously, this that Will is finally home, but Will is coughing stuff up himself.
Right.
So we have to address, is he going to become something? Is he going to become it, or is he almost a nesting ground for this to multiply itself because they're going into the drains now? So do these little slug-looking things turn into Demogorgons?
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, that's my theory.
Oh, wow.
Is that, you know, the Demogorgon essentially used Will as like a birthing place to have offspring.
Oh, baby Demogorgon.
Which is really disgusting. Yeah. So,
the other thing I picked up from the panel was that David Harbour is a big geek. Grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, did you?
No, I honestly didn't.
I think I tried one time, but like the people I was playing with weren't into it, so they didn't really teach me.
Yeah, I feel bad that I never got into it. Like, I feel like that's something I should have done growing up and missed out.
We can play it still, Nick. We're alive.
You want to?
We can play Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't know if I can.
We could do it.
All right.
We should do it.
Maybe we will.
I'm gonna beat Nick because I'm gonna whatever Will was rolling and different things there. But it's almost like when you watch like Big Bang Theory, and they have these, you know, very intricate games. You know, it's a lot of. I have played Risk. You know, there's a lot that goes into certain games that you can really. But it's funny how the whole show was essentially they've been playing Dungeons and Dragons and trying to defeat the Demogorgon, and in real life for them in Stranger Things they're trying to defeat the Demogorgon and they're all like teaming up to do it. So it's very cool how the game foreshadowed the entire season.
Oh yeah,
you know,
it was perfect. It was honestly literally a perfect television show.
Do you think it could get any better? Because TJ and I have talked about this, and he doesn't think it can improve.
No, it can't improve. I don't even think it needs a season two.
Oh, I
think a season two can only hurt it. It wrapped up in a nice little bow. Everything about the story.
Too many questions.
There's no questions.
There is. What's going on with Will?
Who cares?
Where's Barb at?
If this was a movie, you would have been satisfied.
Now, if this is a movie, I'd want a second one because Will was coughing up slugs. I would want a second one.
Leave it up to your imagination.
My imagination is every time I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I get somewhat uncomfortable.
There you go. You get a baby Demogorgon.
Eat a baby Demogorgon, but it hasn't stopped me from eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
That's a good thing.
Nothing will stop me from doing that. No, I love them too much. But I mean, this show, it's such a good show. And so I think the biggest takeaways are, you know, David Harbour has like a really great personality that came out. Millie Bobby Brown, if David's personality is intriguing, Millie Bobby Brown's personality is like iconic, I guess. And, you know, we're going to learn about Barb. We're going to learn about what's going on with Will. We're going to tie up loose ends. We're going to go to this love triangle of Steve and Jonathan and Nancy. I just, you know, Nancy kind of pissed me off, you know.
Why?
Because she didn't listen to good reason, and she looked for Barb for, what, 5 minutes? And then she found Barb, and then this funny thing, when she goes to the Upside Down and finds Barb, she's like, oh my God, and she's standing over Barb, and Barb has the slug thing coming out of her mouth, and she just kind of takes a moment, and then Jonathan goes, oh, and then just continues on to look for things. I mean, he's looking for his brother.
Yeah, not much he could do.
I mean, but the whole show was Will. Nothing about. I mean, Barb did not
good,
matter.
Good. That you don't need to.
Barb matters. She does matter.
Doesn't matter.
She matters.
Her role.
She played.
She played the role of the friend that the guy wasn't attracted to, who died a death when nobody was looking for her, and her mom didn't even care.
And that's
Nancy
the role.
Goes to her mom and she's like, "Where is Barb?" And oh, she's probably out. Like, mom doesn't care about Barb. Nobody cared about Barb, Nick. You don't care about Barb.
No.
Terrible.
She did a great job. But
terrible.
She fulfilled the
what do you want in season
show?
Two? What would you like to see in season two? I know you said there doesn't need to be one, but what do you want in season two? What would make it better? You don't think it can get better, but what would make Stranger Things better? I have theories. What would make it better?
Make it better.
Yeah.
You ask the tough questions.
I do ask the tough questions. What would make it better?
Maybe
I should ask some of the questions at the panel.
Yeah, what would make season two better than season one?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
If Winona Ryder stole the lights, that would make.
If I knew that, I'd be a writer of TV shows.
I can tell you what would make it better.
What?
We find out that the Demogorgon in the Upside Down is only a piece of the creatures that lurk there, and there's things there that are more terrifying than maybe the Demogorgon's afraid of.
Okay, maybe that's cool. Here's what I don't want. I don't want Eleven to be bad.
You don't want her to be bad.
Bad.
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
I don't think she's bad. Why do you think she's bad?
Well, a lot of people think she either is responsible for everything, which seems likely, I guess, that she kind of is.
But it's not her fault. They made her go into this thing and touch it. They made her go into the Upside Down.
So people think she may be the Demogorgon, too. Like, one can't live without the other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when she took its life, presumably, she went with it.
Right.
You know, so some people do think they're one and the same, which would be an interesting theory. But I want to know how she got her powers. Was she born this way? Is she an alien that somehow stumbled upon our planet? Did she come from the Upside Down? There's a lot of questions to be asked. Did we open a portal to the Upside Down? I do.
I don't. I just want it to be something cool that mysterious
happens. But there's so many questions. It's not like everything's... Like, what is the Upside Down for, like, in its entirety? Did we create it? Did she come from it? Did we open a portal? Did the portal open itself? Did they stumble upon it? Or did she somehow connect with it in some way, shape, or form? I mean, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. There's a lot of questions. And she's going to be back. You know she's going to be back. She'll be back in Atlanta filming. I do like that she's a big fan of The Walking Dead.
And Vampire Diaries.
And she went
when
to...
She was told that she could meet Paul Westphal, the lead actor. Well, you know, one of the two brothers. She, like, almost fainted.
Yeah. But Alexandria, she said she went there and she... And I find it so intriguing that you can go to where a movie was shot or a TV show was shot, and you could essentially buy things. You're going to buy a stone or buy a block.
That's weird, right?
It's very weird. I mean, think about if you live in the community where Alexandria was filmed, and there's people, like, coming into your community, pulling over on the side of the road in front of your house, and just taking pictures of your house and being like, oh, this is where Porch Dick came out, and this is where he fought with Rick, and this is where the guy, you know, this is where the guy was killed, and, you know, like, this is where...
I didn't know you could buy artifacts.
This is where Sam got his mom bit because he's so loud and obnoxious, and, like, the worst 9-year-old child ever. He is the worst 9-year-old child ever. And this is where, you know, this is... I mean, there's so many things. You know, this is where Carl got shot in the eye, you know? But I find it very interesting that she's such a fan. And then...
It is weird that she... But she also likes that gore and that craziness.
Yeah. But David Harbour is like a fanboy, too, of Winona Ryder.
Which scares me a little bit.
Well, she very much enjoyed it.
She did.
If you got to be 11, tell me you wouldn't enjoy snapping people's necks and doing all that stuff. I know you're a peaceful man, Nick, but if you had the power, too, and there was somebody trying to hurt you, I would imagine you would utilize your power.
Oh, totally. I'd go snapping necks all over the place.
So I think there's a lot of questions to be answered. The Will question, the Barb question, the love triangle I could care less about. I feel bad for Jonathan. But there's so many questions about the Upside Down, the portal. Did it open? Did we open it? Did it open itself? Where did it come from? That little thing that looked like the beating heart of the Upside Down that you could just, like, walk into that was kind of jelly. What's that all about? And why is it so dark? Was it once a good place? Was the Upside Down once a good place to be? And how do the lights, like, how can we utilize the lights? How do they pass through the portal, you know? There's a lot of questions, Nick. And every time there's a flickering light, like there was right by my house, I took a video of it and I said, is someone trying to talk to me? Because now I look at flickering lights differently. They used to scare me. Now I feel like somebody's trying to send me a message.
Yeah, but no one you knew just disappeared.
Maybe it's Barb.
I don't think
if you disappeared and my light flickered, I would think you're trying to tell me you're okay. Would you want me to find you or only go through a few episodes of my life trying to find you and then give up?
She was dead.
If you went to the Upside Down, would you want me to find you?
I don't need you to, but it'd be cool.
You're just going to make it out yourself?
Maybe.
Or are you going to die?
I don't know.
What if you were Barb in the show? Would you be okay with that?
Well, see, I think that's the difference. Will was prepared for something like this, probably through playing Dungeons & Dragons. So he had strategy in her. And he said, Barb didn't. Like, she was doomed. Like, there was no chance.
We have someone that's Edward Scissorhands taking a picture in front of our booth. It's amazing. Shout out. I like it.
Catwoman.
I'm seeing the giant claws. They look amazing.
Stanley's version.
Oh, very nice. I like it. I got it wrong. I was corrected by a cosplayer.
It happens.
It's a beautiful costume. Very nice. It's a lot of good. Have you seen any great costumes that you like so far?
No.
You've seen none that you like?
No.
None at all?
No.
Nobody that's walked by?
No, they're all pretty bad.
Oh, my goodness, Nick. Wait, if you could make one, what would you be? Wow. Any costume.
What would I be?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting question.
It could be anything.
Donald Duck as Captain America.
Donald Duck as Captain America?
Yep.
Who would I be, Nick?
Probably Barb.
I'm not
very obsessed with
that. I'd be Darkwing Duck. Or I'd be Conan O'Brien. I don't know. I like that.
How about Conan O'Brien as Darkwing Duck?
That would be amazing. That would essentially be Howard the Duck. Kind of work out that way. Howard the Duck was creepy, though. I'm not a big fan. It was a Marvel movie, which is strange to say. But it was a great panel. We took a lot away from it. A lot of information. And I may share more of it on LargerThanLifeDT.com. So make sure you go there and keep up with everything. You can read articles, you can listen to shows, and you can watch, obviously, the Carvel video about every great thing that they do. I mean, it's about Wednesday, buy one, get one Sunday, but they do something Monday through Friday, and they're open Monday through Sunday. It's absolutely amazing. Go to your local Carvel. America's freshest ice cream is here as a presenting partner with us, Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora. So we got to get back to spinning the wheel. We got some prizes to give away. It's free to spin the wheel. All you have to do is like the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora page, and at 1:30, we will spin the wheel from the likes we've gotten in the last hour. And we're proud to say we've gotten a ton of them. We're selling T-shirts, a lot of great prizes to give away. And that's all courtesy of Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream. Here on mixlr.com/larger-than-life-dt. Stranger Things panel, loving it so much. Nick Lo Cicero, myself, Dan Tortora. And make sure that you become a free member of mixlr.com/larger-than-life-dt. So you'll be emailed every single time the show goes live. And we'll have plenty more to talk about. Nick and I are going to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel. We will see a new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider. And we will definitely have to talk with you about it. And outside of that, we may be seeing People of Earth in Conan O'Brien's new show.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get to that one.
So a lot of great things. Hope everybody's having a great time in New York Comic Con. Like Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook. And make sure you check out your local Carvel. There is no substitute to America's freshest ice cream. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk with you very soon.